Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to the book of Galatians. We are in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And we'll actually read the first part of chapter 4, the first seven verses. This is God's word. "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing, if it really was for nothing? Does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you can believe what you heard? Consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. And so those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law.' Clearly, no one is justified by God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree.' He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit." Brothers, let me take an example from everyday life. Just as no one can set aside or add to a human covenant that has been duly established, so it is in this case. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. Scripture does not say, "and to seeds," meaning many people, but "to your seed," meaning one person who is Christ. What I mean is this: the law, introduced 430 years later, does not set aside the covenant previously established by God and thus do away with the promise. For if the inheritance depends on the law, then it no longer depends on a promise. But God in His grace gave it to Abraham through a promise. What then was the purpose of the law? It was added because of transgressions until the seed to whom the promise referred had come. The law was put into effect through angels by a mediator. A mediator, however, does not represent just one party, but God is one. Is the law therefore opposed to the promises of God? Absolutely not. For if a law had been given that could impart life, then righteousness would certainly have come by the law. But the Scripture declares that the whole world is a prisoner of sin, so that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. Before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come. We are no longer under the supervision of the law. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What I am saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he's no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. He is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. O foolish Galatians! He's writing to these people whom he loves, but he's rebuking them because he loves them. If someone sees you doing something that is endangering your future, if they love you, they're going to talk to you about it. And they're not going to say, you might want to consider the possibility that there may be a wiser way to approach this situation. Paul is writing to the Galatians, and he calls them foolish, and he rebukes them repeatedly in this letter, but the reason is because he loves them. It is because of his love for them that he speaks as strongly and as harshly as he does in this letter. Because the mistake that they are making is not just a, probably would have been better if you hadn't approached it that way. He's going to tell them later in this letter, if you accept circumcision, you're cut off from Christ. Now, as we've said before, it's not because circumcision in and of itself is a bad thing. Okay? There are actually medical benefits. Is it okay to be circumcised? Yeah, as long as you're not doing it in order to try and make yourself acceptable to God. But if you think there's something you can do that's going to fix it up and get you into heaven because you did the right thing, you have not yet understood the gospel. And the Galatians were in the process of being led off the path when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So in heaven, how many people will be there because they're Jewish? Zero. Well, how many people will be there because they're Baptist? Zero. Presbyterian? It's not about the group you're in. It's not about your ethnicity. It's not about your denominational affiliation. There's only one way to the Father, and that's Jesus. If you are in Christ, then you are safe. If you are not in Christ, the wrath of God abides on you. And that's a promise from God. John chapter 3 concludes that way. Let me tell you something. A whole lot of churches don't even bother anymore with John 3:16 because they don't want to talk about the prospect of anybody perishing. And so the idea that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that whoever believes in him would not perish but would have everlasting life, I don't think we want to talk about that. It might raise the prospect in some people's minds that those who don't receive Jesus are not going to be in heaven. And we like to believe that when anybody dies, they go on to a better place. Unless you're a Hindu, in which case they may come back as some sort of lesser animal. You know, the Hindus got that wrong, along with a whole bunch of other stuff. The fact of the matter is, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. I was visiting with a dear childhood friend yesterday, and he was saying that he tells people all roads lead to heaven. What? He said, yeah, that's where the great white throne is. The question is, after you get there, where are you going to spend eternity? That was a clever little attention getter. Everybody's going to have to stand before God. And the only hope for anybody is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. If you and I are in Christ, we don't have to be afraid. Well, but I've done some really bad things. I mean, stuff I don't want to tell you about. Okay. You don't have to tell me about it. God already knows about it. And there's only one way that your record can be cleared. And that is through the blood of Jesus Christ. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. What's he saying? He's saying what we sang about this morning. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from sin. It's not what we do. We're not saved by what we do. Only the blood can wash us clean. Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to ask you, or to learn one thing of you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? How did you receive the Spirit? Now, Paul, when he got to Ephesus, found a group of people who hadn't received the Spirit yet. But here, these people had experienced not only receiving the Spirit who indwells them, but the Spirit had come upon them in power, and they were walking in victory and experiencing miracles. God was doing amazing things among them. And then some folks showed up from Jerusalem and said, hey, buddies, listen, you guys have not done what you have to do in order to be saved. You're going to have to get circumcised. Paul says, don't listen to those lies. Well, if I can just do that and then we're good, I'm willing to undergo that surgery. He says, you can't just do that and then you're good. If you're trying to be justified by the law says you have to do everything in the law all the time. I don't know that I could live up to that. You can't live up to that. The purpose of the law was to show us that we needed a Savior. The law didn't justify anybody. No one became righteous through the law. Well, Jesus lived up to the law, didn't he? Yes, but not in order to be righteous. What Jesus did was to demonstrate, as God incarnate, what a perfect human looks like. He was righteous, and therefore, he totally fulfilled the law. But not because he was striving to be sure and fulfill the law, but because the law described his righteousness. So Jesus totally fulfills the law, is totally righteous, and then took upon himself our guilt, our sin, our shame, our punishment. He became cursed for us. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed, it's written in the law, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessing that was given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. You understand that salvation isn't just about getting forgiven. Salvation is about an intimate relationship of love with our Heavenly Father. He wants us to know that we are loved and to love Him. We love Him because He first loved us. He loved us while we were still sinners. That's astounding, but it's true. He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. And so we come to Him not in hopes that if we do a good enough job, He'll let us into heaven. We come to Him as the prodigal, utterly amazed that we are greeted with an embrace. He welcomes us. He loves us. He even loved us when we were in the far country. He has always loved us. I have loved you, God says, with an everlasting love.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
And so he explores this difference between the law and the promise. He says the law came much later. The promise was given to Abraham. And the promise given to Abraham was for all those who would share the faith of Abraham. And he says those who believe God, who believe what God says, who trust in Him, are children of Abraham. We are the heirs of the promise. But folks, we're not only children of Abraham. I'm a child of God. If we are children of God, why should we worry about all the stuff in this world? It's all temporary. It's all temporary. All the suffering in this life is very, very brief compared to eternity. Okay? In math class, even an elementary age student should understand that the number 2 is much smaller than the number 2,000. Right? How about compared to 2 million? Oh, well, way, way smaller. I mean, 2,000 is a lot smaller than 2 million. You're right. You're right. How about 2 billion? I can't really go there. How about 2 trillion? 2 compared to 2 trillion is inconceivable. 2 trillion compared to infinity is totally inconsequential. Because there's no stopping counting. Infinity is forever. And that, brothers and sisters, is how long everything is going to be great for those who are in Christ Jesus. Forever. We're not just going to go to heaven and it's going to be good for a long time. We're going to go to heaven and it's not going to be time. It's going to be eternally glorious. We can't even grasp that. No, you're right. We can't. In fact, the Bible says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. It is beyond human comprehension. Okay? Pastor Wood, I wish I could understand things like you do. You have no idea how much I don't understand. But I trust my Heavenly Father. He has proved his love. I don't have to be afraid because I trust him. The best earthly father is a poor reflection of our Heavenly Father. And I want you to trust him. I want you to look to him as your daddy. Because those of us who look to him as our daddy, we're family. We are brothers and sisters, and our identity is in Christ. And we're going to be together forever, and it's going to be way better than anything we can imagine right here and right now. So Paul, writing to these folks, says, you are sons of God, and the law was given when we were in a childish state. But as long as the heir is a child, he's no different from a slave, though he owns the whole estate. Legally, it's his estate, but he doesn't have authority over it yet. He's subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were children, we were in slavery to the base, under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that would be us, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, not because you may become sons, because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Please understand that. Please realize that God's intention for you is not to keep you as his slave. He wants you to inherit everything. When I look out on the stars at night, I not only know that my Father made all that, I know that all of that is mine. It's mine. Oh, I thought it was mine. It is. How can it be yours if it's mine? Because we're family. You see, we have this scarcity mindset that, you know, if I give up some of what I've got, then I'm going to have less, and I don't like having less. I like to have as much as possible. We've got to believe what God says and receive what he has ordained for us, that everything is ours in Christ Jesus. Believe the good news. Repent and believe the good news.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.